Hello and welcome to the Success Secret Podcast with your host Hussein Talib. I am excited to introduce you to a series of conversations with some of the most successful and inspiring individuals from various industries. My aim is to dive into the stories behind their success and explore the knowledge, strategies, habits, mindsets, and wisdom that have propelled their success. Each episode of the Success Secret Podcast will feature a different guest who will share their unique journey, the challenges they faced, and the lessons they have learned along the way. I will also be covering topics from entrepreneurship and innovation to leadership and personal development. Whether you are an inspiring entrepreneur, a seasoned business professional, or just someone looking to improve your life, the Success Secret Podcast is for you. My goal is to bring you valuable insights and inspiration that will help you achieve your own success in business and life. So get ready to learn and be inspired. The Success Secret Podcast starts now. I am excited to have in this episode Matt Schwab. So in March 2005, Matt was laid off from his corporate banking job. Matt quickly founded M&E Painting with the last $100 he had to his name, all while had $200,000 personal debt. So Matt founded also after that 6 successful companies and grown them from the ground up. So in this episode, we will be talking about Matt. How did he go through that? How he started the business and how he developed and how started multiple businesses to reach and make them a successful business. Matt, welcome to the Success Secret Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. Really excited to be here.
Awesome to have you, Matt. So first of all, because this is the Success Secret Podcast, I want to first tell the Success Secret Nation what the success mean to you and what do you see people around you have certain misconception or definition is success to them that you don't agree with?
Yeah, I mean, we live here in America, right? So I think we are stereotypically known for measuring success in money and the dollars that you make. And that's important in business. Need to make money, need to support your family. But what I really love getting up doing every day, that's why I'm here with you, is, you know, I like to share stories and lessons with people so you can leave an impact on their lives. So, you know, I tell people you can make, you know, millions of dollars. You don't get to take those with you, you know, but what you get to leave behind is the impact and the relationships and the way that you were able to pour into other people's lives. So for me, I measure that at the end of the day, you know, how many people's lives did I make better? And sometimes that's hard to measure exactly, right? And sometimes it's not measurable right away, but I think that's what success is to me. And I think sometimes people get a little too distracted with the money.
Yeah, that's a lot of us, like, we're focused on the money aspect of things in regards to success and how we measure success, when actually there is a lot of things on how we can measure success. Like, it could be the next step that we achieve in our business, for example, or our life, or losing the next 1 kilo, or gaining the next $1,000, or whatever. It's not just about having like $200 million in the bank. So, which is like, and it needs a lot of work to have that kind of money, I guess. So.
Well, and I've met people with nothing. I've met people with a lot of money, you know, with the hundreds and millions and billions. And you know, we all face the same issues and struggles and challenges as people. So I just think being able to come together as people and help each other is a great thing. And that's what I want to be remembered for. You know, obviously I want to leave a great financial footprint and foundation for my kids and their kids and everything, but that's not what it's all about.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, you like to share stories for other people to be inspired to like live their own story, right?
So, yeah, absolutely. So
how did you, like, take us a little bit back when you started M&E Painting, right? And you had like this $100. So how did you think to yourself, like, how I can get out of this job, out of this place, and start a successful business with, like, only I basically have no money and I have a lot of debt in?
Yeah, so I attended Colorado State University for 4 years, and I have a degree in Spanish languages and literatures and child development and family studies. So I love kids, and I wanted to be a teacher to some degree, but I was also really interested in business. So when I was a young child, I cut grass and shoveled snow, and I sold candy bars at school. I actually got in trouble for the candy bars, but I always loved business and loved telling stories, kind of the gift of gab. I love marketing and sales. So while I was at Colorado State University, I worked for a college painting company. They're a big national company, and they actually come onto college campuses and teach students about the painting business. So I worked with them for 4 years and I made a lot of money, but I spent more than I made. So I graduate college, met my wife, Emily, in college. We fell in love. I fell in love first. It took her longer, but that's another, it's another podcast. We get married in 2004, right after I graduated in 2003. And I left the painting business and I got into the banking and the mortgage business because it looked, you know, it looked attractive financially, right? You suit, tie, making the money, right? And I was really focused on making money. That was what I thought would bring me significance and success, like we talk about. So I get into this banking mortgage job and I hate it. And I didn't like what I was doing every day. And I'd come home every day and tell Emily, you know, we've got to figure out a way to get out of this business. You know, what do we do? What are some other options? And then I walked into that bank in March of 2005 and I was laid off. I got fired. They brought in a new bank president and he called me into his office and he said, hey, go get all your stuff, put it in a box and get out. And they fired me. So I was literally standing outside the bank and I had about 10 minutes to drive home and I had to tell Emily what just happened. And it's like, hey, I've got no more money coming in. She was working a very part-time job. So I had to have an answer. I had to have a plan of action. And on that drive home, before I actually told her, I called a couple painters that I knew from the college days. I said, hey guys, we're gonna go out and take a crack at this painting thing. I know how to do it. I know how to make money. And that's how we launched M&D Painting. And you know, the minimum bank deposit, Hussein, was $100 at the bank. I said, what's the minimum I can put in? And that's what I put in. And then from there, I went out, started knocking on doors. So, you know, in the United States, we live in the suburbs. So you go to a neighborhood, there's houses, you know, side by side all the way down the street. And I just walked up and knocked on doors to tell people who I was and what I was doing.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like this kind of perseverance that you had, like knocking door to door. I actually worked in this kind of job in marketing, which we used to sell like the discounted books for restaurants, if you know them,
these yeah.
things.
Yeah.
Now, I hated this kind of job. Why? If you ask me, because I did not believe in what I was selling. Now, your case is a different story. But for me, for example, I hated doing that because I did not believe that these books will actually have a discount, especially if you go to a certain restaurant once a month, for example. It's not really going to add that much value to me personally. Right.
Yeah.
Some people like the challenge of that kind of place where you put yourself in a place that you have to knock on every door and hear the yeses and the noes. So how did that feel? Like, for example, probably the first 10 people maybe said no. So how did that like go through your mind?
So while I was in college working with the college painting company, one of the big methods they taught us was knocking on doors. So it wasn't the first time I had done that, you know, but it was a different motivation. Like I had more on the line. When I was in college, it was just me. I lived with some roommates. My expenses were low. You know, I didn't have anybody to support other than me. Right. So that was fairly easy to do, but I was just very, very motivated. So yeah, I mean, the no's always happen in any business. Any way you're marketing, you're approaching, you're in sales, you're going to get told no, and not everybody is your customer. So I just knew one thing I would share with business owners, if you're new, you're just getting started, maybe you've done this a while, is it ratios will start to appear. So you knock on 100 doors, make 100 phone calls, whatever the method you're marketing, there's a certain number of yeses and a certain number of no's that you're going to get. So when somebody gives you a no, and that really is the final answer, it's no, say, great, thank you. Because that I know that I need this many no's to get a yes. Yeah. And don't focus on the rejection, because, you know, rejection stinks to a certain degree, but you're not going to have yes all the time.
Yeah, definitely. So in your own perspective, when someone like would be in your place now and they want to start a business, new business owner, new entrepreneur, like what is the most important thing that they should focus on?
Yeah, is have a plan and surround yourself with people that support you and encourage you. Because getting into business, it's scary. It's a new space. There's no certainty in it, right? I mean, but I think there's also not as much certainty in a secure corporate job, right? You can lose that I lost that right away pretty quick. So yeah. you have to have a plan. And then one of the biggest things is just surround yourself with people that are going to support you, and then find a mentor, find somebody that has done what you're doing, you can learn so much faster, quicker, and get along a lot further when you learn from successful people. Success leaves clues. Yeah. And then from a business standpoint, from a dollars and cents standpoint, I knew in painting, if I knocked on so many doors for so many hours, that would lead to an appointment for a proposal. And if I did so many proposals, so you have to find that one thing that you're going to do to get your name out there. So, you know, maybe you're selling cookies. I don't know. And you're going to go knock on every business door to sell cookies to businesses. Just go knock on all those doors and meet as many people as you can. And just don't give up.
Yeah, that's very important character to have. Like, you should not give up, because like, you will hear the news and the issues along the way. So you need to have certain type, let's say, maybe a goal like to reach, and never stop until you reach it. Because one of the mistakes that a lot of people make right now, I guess, is that we want kind of instant gratification. Like, we think if we are going into this route, right, it might work out quickly for us, when actually the reality is it's not, probably not. So you need to have some kind of patience for the process, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, when I got into the business in 2005, I used the internet for email. I was not on social media, Facebook. So, you know, you go on any kind of social media and you see, oh, this person has the perfect life, or the perfect wife, the perfect breakfast, right? They put their food and here's all the successes, but they don't highlight the struggles and the challenges. So we become more wired as people, instant everything, right? Instant gratification. And, you know, go online, right? The typical online product is you hook somebody that has a problem, you give them a solution, and it's got to be a quick and easy and simple process. And process is important, but, you know, things can be hard, things can take time. And I think social media sets a false expectation and reality that things are going to come fast and things are going to come perfect and going to make $1 million overnight. And it's just not the case.
Yeah. So like you mentioned something very important here. A lot of people probably would share their successes, whether it took them a month, a year, or 10 years, they would share their success, but they won't share like the failures along the way to their success. Yeah. So what do you think that happens? And would you share like a story with us where you like expecting something and you failed at doing that?
Yeah. Yeah. Like every day, so many, right? I mean, we're, you know, and I think just as men, right, we're designed to provide for our family, right? And support our family. And we don't ever want to look like, right, in the public setting or around other men that were failures in that. So a lot of the business groups and business clubs, you know, people come in, oh, I sold $100,000 or blah, 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 you know, and they're all competing, right? And posturing with all of their wins. But I think the big lessons are in the failures. So a really big failure of mine, and this ties back to the opening question that you asked me, is how do you define success? So I'll back up. When I was a child, I got bullied a lot in school. I was very not confident. I was very scared of the world. Like, I was not good at sports. I had big buck teeth. I had headgear. I got picked on, you know? So I found out at 10 years old that I was great at marketing, sales, and making money. So money gave me this confidence and this certainty that I needed as a young kid. So as I'm growing up into a young man, you know, I'm out there, the more money I make, the more business I do, the more dollars I accumulate, the more worth I'm going to have. And it's just not the case. It's this chase that never ends. But the biggest thing that I was focusing on in business, it was making money. I said, when that bank president fired me, I said, screw you. I said, I'm going to come back and be a millionaire. And my goal was to be a millionaire. And then when we finally got there, I was like, but I'm still chasing. Like, I'm still chasing for this acceptance that I never really got, right? You know, in my faith, I have a very strong faith, which plays a big thing into it. But somebody told me one day, they go, Matt, you know, you're focusing on business and you're really good at it. You're really good at making money, but you're kind of a jerk. He said, you're not nice to work for. You don't seem to care about the people, and you're not investing in your people. You're building this business totally for you. You're taking all the credit. And that was a huge lesson, you know. And it wasn't, maybe call it a failure, but it was just a blind spot that I didn't see, is that other people helped get me here. And I need to reward them. I need to give them credit. I need to lead them. I need to make their lives better. you know, we work here in the United States. I mean, 40 hours a week is it's more. If you're a business owner, it's typically more. You spend so much time with these people that are part of your business. You need to make their lives better. So that was one big lesson that I learned.
Yeah. So why do you think that happens? Like, because like you mentioned a little bit going back to childhood, do you think that sometimes you thought to yourself you do better things yourself, for example, or if you, for example, give a certain task to other people, they might not do it enough good or not enough trust in the belief that you do? And do you think that's important, having some kind of trust and community and culture in the place between employees and even the owner of the business?
Yeah, absolutely. Really, really good question. So I think the way that I have showed up in business, and then people that I've coached, that I've worked with, where they show up to business and they have, you know, they have an issue, they have a struggle, right? So for me, it was not being kind. Like, I was really angry. I had a lot to prove. And that stemmed from my childhood, and that stemmed from experiences I went through that I was angry about. And I had not dealt with that stuff. And then trust was another thing. Right. I had a very low level of trust based on, you know, I'm getting bullied. I'm always looking over my shoulder, you know, who's going to get me next? So guess what happens in business? Well, who's going to quit next? Who's going to steal money next? So you almost create the scenarios that you don't want. But what I tell people, the lesson in that, and the reason I share that, is your business will only grow to the level that you do. So if you're angry personally, you're going to be angry in business. If you're not trusting personally, you're going to be not trusting in business. If you're just a jerk, like it's going to flow over. So business really magnifies who you are as a person. And I would even say that as the money starts to come in, money will magnify who you are as a person. If you're charitable and you give and you pour into other people, you know, if you build a $1 million business, you make a bunch of money, you're going to share, you're going to pour into other people. You know, if you're kind of greedy and stingy and angry, that'll just play out bigger. So I hope these things help your listeners.
Definitely. So how is that you now running, let's say, six businesses or six companies, and you have this kind of balance between life, family, and business? What is it that you think about first thing in the morning when you wake up? Is it your businesses? And how do you deal with, let's say, maybe there's some kind of chaos or certain things that you worry about in your businesses? So how do you deal with that if that happens?
So if I told you, oh, you know, when I wake up first thing in the morning, it, you know, I have peaceful thoughts. And no, sometimes I will wake up at 4 a.m. and my mind is spinning. Like, we just launched a podcast, right? And I go, oh, is everything ready for the podcast? So there's seasons and days when, you know, I wake up and business is on the mind. I always remind myself, though, is like, I'm doing this for my family. I'm doing this for the people that we serve. So there's a great purpose in that. But whether you have one business, five businesses, I know a gentleman that owns, you know, 25 businesses, there's always chaos. There's always unpredictable things that happen. But my step-by-step tips would be is you just can't plan for certain things in business. You can read as many books, go to as many seminars, workshops, all of these things, but you're going to get a curveball, right? You're going to get something that happens that you've just never dealt with before. And you just have to take those things as they come. And for me, a lot, I do get overwhelmed, right? Like this summer has been a really interesting season in our business. We had some change of employment. We had a couple of shifts. We're getting ready to sell a company. So a lot of our people have made some shifts, and it's stressful, right? So it feels like chaos. But what I tell people is just realize the next step you have to take. Like, if you're in a storm or you're in the dark or you just don't know what to do, like, just take that next step. There's one next step, and then evaluate, and then take the next one and evaluate. And I would say as a man, for me and a lot of the other businessmen that I work with, is we're scared to ask for help. So we keep everything. Yeah, I don't know about you, but we bottle everything in and we don't ask for help. We try to put it all on our shoulders. Ask for help.
Yeah, that's actually very true. I think that, like you mentioned earlier about being the man and providing for a family, which I do believe in, which is true now. Now the times have changed. Like from the old days, I think, where women stayed at home and the man used to go to work, and maybe the woman helped outside, and if they had some kind of a farm, maybe. But in general, the main thing is like the man used to get this, the man used to hunt or whatever, bring the food and these kind of things. The man used to cut the animal or make whatever it is that should be which could be considered hard thing to do for women, but nowadays are different. But I do still think that this should be the right idea. Like eventually a man is like some kind of, should be a protector of the family, and his responsibility is to provide for their family, whether it's his wife, mother, or whoever it is under, let's say, I don't want to say under him, but in the same circle of family with him, right? So you mentioned that you mentioned mentors, and like, what do you think is the most important aspect that you have learned from? What was the best resources that you learned from and developed as a business owner, entrepreneur along the years? Was it like you had these mentors, or was it some kind of a different resources like books or seminars or whatever?
Yeah, great question. It's been a mix of everything. So, you know, I always mentioned, a mentor is great, and it's great. So I'm 42, just in a little bit here. And I've got younger business owners that are reaching out, and they are where I was 20 years ago. And they say, hey, I'm dealing with this struggle. I go, oh my goodness. I remember the first time I dealt with that. It was like end of the world. And now I've dealt with it 300 times, right, in the last 20 years. So to be able to simply share some advice is huge. So for me as a young business guy, mentors were huge, because you can glean, you know, one lesson from decades of experience and success and failure that somebody else has. And you'd be really surprised, I think, as a new business owner, we're scared to reach out for help and to ask somebody, hey, this guy has a successful business. And he's probably going to say no. I've had so many mentors. You reach out, they're very willing to meet with you. They're like, yeah, let's go get breakfast or lunch or coffee. So that's great. And then, a simple book, workshop, seminar. And with the development of the internet, you know, I tell people, just get on YouTube and you can literally find so much personal, professional business development resources. And that's been really great. So, I mean, that's what I focus on. Just find something that can make you better, a little bit better every day.
Definitely, because that relates to business and life together. You need to be better every day and make yourself improve every day. So in that regard, now outside of business, what other things that, like, let's say you are a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, right? So how would the personally that experience itself helped you in business and your life, do you think? Do you think that people or business owners, entrepreneurs in general, should not always focus 100% of their time on their business? Do you think that they should, like, do something out of the ordinary, go do some kind of jiu-jitsu, maybe some kind of a sports, boxing, whatever it is, and that will help them set some kind of mindset to keep growing and developing and learning?
Yeah, no, absolutely right. I think for two reasons is, I think, so at the end of the day, this is the end of every day for me, right? I go, I have to find a time when I stop, and it's not all done. It's never going to be all done. There's always something to where you could work 24/7 for the rest of your life and still never get everything done in business. So being very intentional with your time and when you schedule and plan for things, right? Family, hobbies, sports, and really intentionally building out a plan and a schedule for that has been a big key to my success. And I'm better at that sometimes than others. Sometimes there's chaos and you just feel like you're getting thrown around in a tornado with like no control, and then you rein it all in. But for me, I'm going to promote Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu because it's the sport that I love, the sport that I'm experienced in. But yeah, like if you love boxing, if you love punching, getting punched in the face, and that helps you grow, yeah, go do that. The biggest lesson that I learned from Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is it very much aligns the journey of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and a lot of martial arts. It aligns with a leadership journey, right? Is the first class I stepped onto, you were speaking in kilos, right? So I'm 100 kilos. I'm a big guy, lift weights, right? So I go into a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu gym. I'm 27, and I thought we were there for kickboxing. I did Krav Maga. So, you know, the Israeli hand-to-hand combat. So I was used to the striking, I walk into an MMA gym and I said, hey, are we, you know, when is kickboxing? They said, oh, that's over, but we have jujitsu tonight. And I said, well, what do you do in jujitsu? I had no idea. They said, just take the guy down on the ground, pin him down, choke him. Oh, okay. And I said, you want me to go with that big guy? They said, no, go with the little guy. And they put me with a kid. He's 14, 15, and he's 60 kilos, maybe like half my size. And he just kicked the crap out of me, if I can say that, right? Like he just beat me up. And I realized, I go, I don't know what I don't know. Like I just stepped into this new environment. It was very uncomfortable. I felt humiliated. I was humbled. And that's kind of how business is, right? You step into a new space, but then, you know, somebody else that's done jujitsu for 3, 4, 5, 10 years, they come alongside, they go, oh, don't worry. You know, next time don't drive forward so hard. So they give you tips, they give you advice. And jujitsu has been just a leadership lesson for me and a leadership journey of just getting better every day. And there's such a sense of camaraderie in that community where, like, you go in, if you and I go to jujitsu class, we're going to fight each other. We're going to try to choke each other, but then we're going to give each other a hug. And then we're going to go have a coffee, you know, go have a sandwich after, go have a meal. So I love it. I would highly recommend that, you know, every business owner, everybody in general, that they put some kind of physical activity in their calendar.
Very important. Like I mentioned, like two things from here. Like you kind of mentioned leadership, which can be translated into being self-leadership, lead yourself by yourself, which is should mm-hmm. be an owner or an entrepreneur should do that, right? You don't have sometimes someone backing you to do whatever it is. And we talked about asking for help sometimes. Sometimes people don't like to ask for help. They can do it alone. So if you are not a leader yourself, you can do that, I assume, right?
Yeah.
Also, you mentioned this story of this 14 years old. Like he had some kind of more skills than you, right? So what do you think are, speaking of skills also, what do you think are the most important skills for a business owner? Is it about learning how to market and sales, or do you think other skills like connecting with people, or do you think, for example, marketing is the place to connect with your audience, for example?
Yeah, I mean, marketing is such a great skill to have, but part of marketing is understanding human behavior and dynamics and decision making. So I've loved studying and observing human behavior. You know, why do people do what they do? Why do they make the decisions that they make? And, you know, you're solving somebody's problem in business, whether it's a high level, low level, whatever that is. So getting really clear on that is great. And just communicating with people, right? When I started the business, and I was I'm a much better, I think, communicator today than I was back then. It was face to face. It was right in front of somebody. And what I found too, that was another great skill within the marketing, is being really good at storytelling, right? So there was a difference. I'll give you the example. I knocked on a front door. Hi, I'm Matt. I'm with M&D Painting. We do interior and exterior painting. We're going to be here this summer painting houses. I noticed your windows need a little bit of work over there. Can I give you an estimate? Okay. That was my pitch. Very informational. And that worked. But then somebody asked me, they go, well, why are you out here doing this? I said, you know, 3 weeks ago, I got fired from a bank and I'm married and I've got a house and I have to support my wife and we want to have kids in a couple of years. So I started sharing my story. I'd knock on the door and I'd say, hey, I'm Matt. I just got fired. It's like, whoa, you hooked that person, right? They're like, whoa, what happened? You did what? You're standing at my door? Hey, I got fired. So there's a relation, right? So there's a difference between informing, right? And then sharing a story to hook somebody to relate to them, and they kind of feel your pain. They go, oh yeah. And I had so many people, oh gosh, that happened to me once, or that just happened to my brother. I feel you. And there's just a deeper connection. And I would layer one more thing, is don't always try to be so perfect. You know, like in marketing, you have to have the perfect pitch and the perfect landing page or perfect elevator pitch. It's like, no, just be real, just be vulnerable. I wrote a book called Painted Baby. And it's being brave and vulnerable with telling your story and sharing your mistakes and sharing where you've screwed up, because people want to know the whole you and the real you in business.
Exactly. Yeah, this is what I actually think about. Like we are in time now, there are so much, for example, content and social media that it's mostly edited. So like having unfiltered kind of presence. Right. So there is nothing like 100% great. There are some things that might not be 100% good. So, but you have to learn to develop yourself personally and learn how to accept yourself and other people and learn along the way and improve, like we talked about here also.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you'll be, you know, one of the fun things too is, you know, you talk about looking for a mentor and getting a mentor, but then the day that you get to become a mentor. And, you know, it wasn't that far into business. I was maybe 4 or 5 years in, you know, people started reaching out to me, hey, I'd like to buy you coffee and ask you for some advice and some input. So, you know, what I always tell people is it's a continuous cycle. It's just like jujitsu, right? Like I was, okay, 6 months in, I get to help the new guy that comes out for his first class. And, you know, that's how life, leadership, business, it's all the same, right? Like you and I, our stories just connected today. Exactly. And we're sharing stories, we're sharing advice, and we're making each other better. So, you know, you selfishly, you do want to make yourself better because you have to grow personally. But then you can't hold that all in. You have to pour into other people. And that's been really a big focus of mine in business is sharing, pouring in to the other people that are helping our companies grow.
Awesome. Well, Matt, what can you share a final thought here for Success Secret Nation or add something that I did not ask you and talked about that you think it is important to mention?
Yeah, a couple things is be patient. Things take longer than you would think. Some things are going to come really easy in business. They're just going to seem to flow without any friction, any issues. And then some things are going to be very difficult. And just ask people for help. And when you get to a point when you can help, and I know I'm repeating this, but help other people, that's a big thing. And then, you know, think about your greater vision and purpose and legacy and what you want to leave behind. And especially when business gets tough, right? Because when business is going well, you're making money, you're profitable, things are growing. It's like, yes, I'm awesome. but then you can have the flip side. Entrepreneurship, it's a roller coaster. You can have those valleys when you're down, when you're out, when you're like, why the heck am I doing this? But always remembering that North Star and that purpose of why you're doing this and why you're here. And, you know, for everybody, no matter where you are in the world, whatever you believe, you know, from a worldview or a faith standpoint is, you know, at the end of the day, we all want to leave a better life for our kids, for our family. And that's why we do a lot of this.
Definitely. Yeah, that's very true. Like we have to look at bigger things and be observant to other people, whether it's family members or even other people sometimes that we don't know and help them. I think it's better to help people achieve and inspire them and motivate them to do whatever it is that we want, because this could lead to a bigger joy and internal joy when you do that, I assume. I know, actually. So assume. Awesome. Well, Matt, thank you for being here today with me on this episode of the Success Secret Podcast. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for what you're doing, and thanks for having me.